Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The October 7th attack on Israeli citizens. We've heard details, but no particular explanation of how Hamas managed to overcome the Israeli defenses, both electronic and human. There is the beginning of a conversation having to do with drones and cyber. I welcome Patrick Tucker, the technology editor of Defense One. Patrick, a good evening to you. What did you learn from the drone analysis group, DroneSec, about parts of the Hamas offensive using drones? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So yes, one of the weird hallmarks of the Hamas attack of October 7th is a very, for that group, very sophisticated use of small consumer drones like DJI quadcopter drones, modified and equipped to carry explosives, which they used to find and then destroy or at least damage very important strategic targets, in addition to the news that we're all following, the random horrible targeting of civilians, the taking of hostages, the hurting of children, the hurting of the elderly. They also executed strategic strikes on things like tanks, ambulances, and communication towers using these drones. So what DroneSec reveals is an understanding of how to use these drones in a way that would allow them to avoid some electronic countermeasures. This comes from Dmitry Alperovich, a friend of mine, the founder of the Silverado Policy Accelerator. He's a cyber expert and a national security thinker. He points out that the availability of targets like that, the ability to send the drones precisely to communications towers, the location of tanks, that speaks to a level of intelligence collection that we didn't know Hamas was capable of. Hamas, we sort of think of as this group that strikes out very randomly, and there's certainly a lot of random violence in that October 7th attack, but also in strategic attacks on key targets. They must have had some intelligence on it. And so we're beginning to have a conversation, right, about a future of drone warfare from this battlefield that incorporates elements of probably cyber exfiltration, cyber attacks, intelligence possibly gleaned from cyber attacks, the sort of thing that we know the Israelis are capable of, but we're now beginning to think that Hamas may be capable of as well, developing that asymmetric capability that allows them to punch much above their weight militarily.
In September of 2022, you attended an important conference, International Military Innovation Conference, run by the IDF at a remote base, as you report, in the Negev Desert, at Tsilim. What did you learn at this conference about the IDF thinking about the future war?
Right. So take for a second everything that we're learning about the use of drones in warfare from Ukraine. 2014, Russians were using drones in sort of the way people use planes in World War I. Find targets, report back on target positions, and then fires would hit the targets. 2021, we see Ukrainians do something similar to very effect and ramp up their own ability asymmetrically to punch above their weight and counter a much larger force. What we're seeing now, Hamas acting a little bit like the small Ukrainian force, very different, of course, in character, politics, et cetera, but just in terms of leveraging asymmetric capability, how is this rejoined? Well, what I witnessed is a new, unique use of drones and cyber effects from the Israeli forces that I think is going to really speak to the next chapter of drone warfare. This is drone warfare in a dense urban environment where, unlike the Russians, where they're just hurling artillery at whatever targets they want, the IDF will be under a lot of pressure, especially now, to target specific people and limit collateral damage. So what we saw was a very unique demonstration, and they performed this in front of a lot of military chiefs, actually from Arab countries like Morocco, in addition to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The use of drones over an urban setting, and at this base, they've actually constructed an enormous set to kind of represent an urban warfare environment. The drones use conduct tailored access operations. They act like a cell tower, and as such, they become a middleman, an intermediary for cellular data in the region. It goes to them instead of to another tower. That then goes immediately to intelligence operatives with the 8200 unit, the intelligence arm of the IDF, and then back down to the guys on the ground who can figure out who everybody is within a certain area, who they might be operating as a part of. You get a lot of intelligence really, really quickly, and then you can conduct your police raid or your strike in a way that's much more targeted. Now, that works great when you're doing it in a rehearsed way as part of a live fire. The chaos of Gaza, the enormous density of the population, will make that sort of hard. But I think this is something that is going to be characteristic of what we're going to see in the days ahead, and certainly future urban warfare, where you have the combination of using drones, not just to deliver effects, not just to drop little bombs, but to much more precisely surveil the environment and everyone in it, not just finding the positions of folks, but understanding based on digital collected data who they are immediately. And that then informs police actions and military actions in a way that we've never seen on this planet, really.
You report that, according to a 2023 book, The Palestine Laboratory, by Anthony Lowenstein, that the Mexican government has already used this against drug lords. Did they use it in the way you just designed as an intelligence tower to intercept information?
No, it's a little bit different. So when we're talking about like how once you act as a cellular tower, the next question is, how do you hack that phone to get all the information, even if it's on some sort of encrypted app? And this speaks to a different aspect of Israeli capability, which is just hacking. There is a group called the NSO group. They also come out of the 8200 intelligence unit. Very controversial. They produce a piece of software called Pegasus, which the Israeli government can use to understand who is a part of Hamas, who might be a militant in the Gaza Strip. But the NSO group has also sold this to different regimes around the world. The Mexican government has used it as part of the sting against El Chapo, both the 2014 one and the 2016 one. Remember, El Chapo was calling an actress that was connected to Sean Penn, and that's how he got nabbed. It was because of this group's software. But the thing is, now that software is so ubiquitous, so widespread, that actually drug cartels also use it to understand who might be against them. And that really speaks to the problem here. These innovations, one power has a market on them, has control over them for a very short window, because of the democratization of technology that moves really quickly. So Israel can hack a lot better than Hamas can. But because of tools like this that are created out of by Israeli veterans and then enter the wide market, that advantage crumbles pretty quickly.
Now for the warning. Anthony Lowenstein himself speaks up. Remember, he wrote the book about this, that over-reliance on robots, that is one remark I've heard, but not until you reported that as people who are familiar with robots have said the same thing. What is it Mr. Lowenstein pointing to, Patrick?
Right. So Mr. Lowenstein is a journalist, an Israeli journalist, and was out of East Jerusalem from 2016 to 2020, has a lot of great sources on the ground. And the thing that he says is that, you know, the Israeli intelligence, best in the world for a long time, based mostly on human and digital intelligence. So based on both hacking, signals intelligence, but also based on the ground, retail connections, talking to people. And over the last 5 years, what he's been told is that Israel has decided to rely more and more on the digital intelligence. It's a lot safer to try and collect it than putting people close to potential terrorist sources. but limitations there. And that speaks to what he says, this is the gap when we talk about the massive intelligence failure that Israel just suffered. That speaks to why that may have happened. They were over-reliant on particularly digital intelligence, signals intelligence, what they could get off of phones. And so they missed a lot of important networking that was happening that didn't leave a digital trail.
And once those communication towers were down, it complicated enormously the response time. That would explain why from 6:30 in the morning till sometime later that morning, the Israelis were not able to mount a counteroffensive. The communications were out. The nodes were out. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that again speaks to the sophistication of just the intelligence that they had on hand before they launched this attack.
Right. Patrick Tucker is the technology editor at Defense One. I'm John Patrick.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.